tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. I'm on? Okay. I suppose in other parts of the world also, you'll find churches named Berean, B-E-R-E-A-N, Baptist Church. Why would they name themselves that? Now, there's a church in Ogden, and the name of the church is Berean Baptist Church. What on earth? What's so significant about that? And it's in this passage we're going to look at tonight. There's a phrase, I'll bet 90% of you, 99% of you have heard this. It talks about, in verse 10, it says that Paul and Silas went by night to Berea. And it says in verse 11, these were more noble. The people in Berea were more noble. I'm going to show you what that means tonight and what's significant about it. It's interesting. The word noble appears in the King James Bible only 7 times. And that may or may not be very significant, but I'll give you some examples. It's in Ezra. It's mentioned in Ezra and Esther talking about rulers. It's mentioned in Jeremiah talking about Israel being a noble vine. 3 times in Acts, this time, and once in chapter 24 talking about Felix, and in chapter 26 talking about Festus. And then the last time is in 1 Corinthians 1:26. It says, not many noble are called. The word, the Greek word is eugenes. It means well-born. And, of course, nobility often ran in a family line, you know that. I like Webster's 1828 dictionary's definitions better. He says, dignified, distinguished, of a splendid family, uncommon of dignity, honorable. You know what? We are of a splendid family. You are going to be priests and kings, amen? And queens, I guess, is another word we could use there, but noble. Why were these folks noble? And we're going to look at that tonight. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. We'll have a word of prayer. Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that even today there are some folks that search the scriptures daily to see if things are so. And Lord, we know that's where we're going to find the answers. And if we cannot find the answer in the Bible, then it's not an answer we need to know. Lord, I pray you'd give us wisdom tonight. I pray that our church would be a noble church and that we would search the scriptures to see if things are so. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul was quite a fellow, wasn't he? He, if you see what happened here, he is persecuted at Thessalonica so ferociously that he had to leave by night and sneak away, and they were just protecting his life, so all they were doing. He knew that he was in danger, but he just kept on preaching. In chapter 17 and verse 10, he goes to Berea, and I should have written it down, but it's not that far away from Thessalonica, and it's a little way south, And he goes to Berea, and he does the very same thing he always does. Goes to the synagogue and teaches them how the Old Testament shows that Jesus is the Christ. I got a feeling that a lot of that material is found in Hebrews, and we can look at that again today sometime if we want to see what Paul was preaching. So he's in Berea, And just to kind of finish up the story before we see the Bereans in more specifics, he hadn't been there too long, and the Thessalonican Jews, the Thessalonian Jews, are disgusted that he's preaching the Word of God. And they're going to do something about this, and it's not too far away. And so they go down to Berea and cause a fuss there also. And if you see what happened, it's kind of interesting. They had some folks that believed in Berea. They didn't want to leave them without training and without some teaching in the Word of God. And so they used Paul as a decoy. And they sent Paul, as it were, to the sea. And so somehow or other they let the word out that Paul's going to be going to the seashore and departing. And of course, then that meant that the Jews from Thessalonica thought, ah, yeah, we won. And they could go back home and leave things alone. But, praise the Lord, Paul wasn't by himself. Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And then some other folks took Paul down to Athens, and we'll see that later in the book of Acts. And then, of course, received the commandment from Silas and Timotheus to come with him at all speed, and they departed and came down there as well. But the folks at Berea were noble. Let me ask you, are you noble? We are of a good family. But why would Paul say that unusual word, noble? Why would he call? You don't hear him tell anybody else that. You never had. Oh, he never said, oh, the Jews in Corinth or the Jews in anywhere else are noble. Why noble for the Bereans? And it's explained here in the passage. And I'll show you. There are three things. And then I'll just drop a fourth one as we finish in the conclusion. But look at these folks, what they were like. First of all, look at verse 11. Very clear explanation here. He says, these were more noble. In that, okay, so let's see what he says. In that, they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had an eager mind for God's word. You know, you get that when you get saved. I don't want to get too far off on a tangent here, but I think the devil's got a full-time job. When you got saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and when our young people got saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, now, the devil's got an extra hard job to do. He's going to do everything he can to try to get you off track, to try to get you distracted, to try to keep you out of the Bible. But if you're like me, when I sit down and start reading the Bible, it captures me. Does it do that to you? And before you know it, you just don't want to stop. You start reading and you think, wow, I'd like to keep on reading. And what a luxury it is. Somebody says, oh, the pastor has to study. No, 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 no. The pastor gets to study. I can tell you with all sincerity, I could study all week long, and it does wear you out a little bit, but it's pleasant to study the Bible. Nothing I enjoy more than really, well, that may be an exaggeration, but probably anyway, to sit down with the Bible and some markers and just start seeing what God has to say. Readiness of mind. Is your mind ready? If you want to be noble, you need to be like the Bereans. You need to have a ready mind, a readiness of mind. They had an eager mind. They were ready to hear the Bible. Are we? Some are ready only when it agrees with their opinion. Some are ready only when it doesn't denounce their sin. But these folks just wanted to hear what God had to say. A ready mind is eager to hear what God has to say, and it receives what God says, even when it's not what they expected to hear. I got a disturbing, you can pick some other words, phone call yesterday at about 1 in the afternoon, noon maybe. A young man, he's been in our church, his name's Jake Martin, and he is married to a girl named Kimberly, and they live in Salt Lake City. And you've heard me talk a little bit about all the horrible things that have happened up there. And the church where we trained was Anchor Baptist Church, and they brought a pastor in to replace the retiring pastor, or he wasn't really retiring, but anyway, to work alongside him. And this man turned out he was nothing much more than a bully. And he began to bully the people and bully the pastor. And a bunch of the people came to the pastor one day and said, look, we're tired of being bullied. We're leaving. And the pastor said, well, I'm kind of tired of being bullied too. I guess I'll go with you. And they started another church. And so then they started this church, and then some time went by, and they were looking for a pastor, and they really wanted me to come up there. And I told them, look, God called me to Arizona. I've got a church there. The people there love me and want me to be there, and I can't come up here. God hadn't told me to come up here. And I did not go, of course. And so they found a fellow, and his name's Nolan. I'll just give you the first name's Nolan. And it turns out This fellow has some really, really curious beliefs. And so you'll be kind of shocked when I tell you what happened, but this young man, Jake, called me Saturday and he said, "My wife and I just got rebaptized because the pastor taught us that our baptism from Anchor Baptist Church, where my wife was baptized, where I was trained, that baptism's not good enough. You got to have special baptism that this guy's got." And I thought, oh, this is a cult, folks. This is not right. And he said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Look, Jake, I don't agree with it because I can't find that in the Bible." Amen? That's the question. What does the Bible have to say? If you look in the Bible, there is a time when some folks are rebaptized. We'll come to this passage not too long from now. It's in the book of Acts. But their baptism was from John the Baptist. And I won't get into the nuances right now, but that's the very baptism that this fellow that rebaptized these people said that they're supposed to have. But we'll get into this rebaptism thing later on. The point of the matter is, it's sad to me that someone would take the commandments of men and make them the doctrines of God, which they really are not, and confuse people. And the fellow called me to ask me, and I'm in a tricky position there because I can't counsel him again as pastor, but at the same time, I need to tell him what the Bible has to say and try to be kind about it, and I was, and I didn't denounce him or his pastor. I just said, "I don't agree with that." But how do you know anything? How do you know anything? It comes from the Bible. How do you know we shouldn't be speaking in unknown tongues? I read the Bible. It's easy. It's clear. The Bible says if you have someone speaking in tongues, you have to have an interpreter. Have to have an interpreter. And no more than two or three can do it. And it can't be women. That's just from Corinthians. And if you ask anybody that's in a tongue-speaking church, they'll tell you, no, they don't always have an interpreter. And, oh, yeah, a lot of the women, more than the men, usually do it. And everybody does it. Those are all. And Paul said this. Paul said, if you think yourself to be spiritual, and what do people that speak in tongues claim? They claim to be spiritual. He said, if any man think himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of God. So if it's the commandment of God, you better do it that way. So I've sat down and showed people those verses, and a lot of the time they'll just tell me, well, I'd rather speak in tongues. You know, they just disregard. That's not noble. When the Bible says it, that settles it. Amen? I don't know everything, but I know what the Bible says about a lot of things, and when the Bible says it, that settles it. And that's what the Bereans were like. Paul came to the Bereans, and he said, look, get in the Old Testament. If you want to see his outline, read the book of Hebrews sometimes. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that came to die and pay for our sins. And the Bible said the Jews were going to reject him and crucify him, and they did. And he said, just read the Bible, and you can see it. And the Bereans said, the Bible's right, and so, Paul, you must be right. They received it with readiness of mind. And that there's two kind of folks in the world. There's the kind of folks that will listen to what the Bible says, and there's the kind of folks that won't. And I'm sorry to say this, but sometimes the kind of folks that won't might be saved. They just may be out of fellowship with God, but that's a topic for another day. So the first thing is they had an eager mind for God's word. And then it goes past that, because once you hear, then there is an excellent method being used here, and that's what they had. And if you look at that phrase in verse 11, he says, whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures. Oh, I like that phrase, search the scriptures. One of my favorite verses, especially up in Salt Lake City, John 5:39. Don't need to turn there, I'll quote it for you. It says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. And that was Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Told you the story about the man that called church last night at 5 o'clock and wanted to be baptized. And I asked him if he believed the Bible. And he said, yes. And I began to tell him, you know what, the whole Bible is really the story of Christ. I forgot if I've told you this, so I'll mention it again. I was telling somebody, it's interesting to me, do you remember when Jacob was going to get married and he wanted to marry Rebecca or Rachel and he was going to work 7 years for her, and then he got tricked and he wound up and be married to Leah instead? You say, Jacob got tricked. You know, God was in that. Leah is the mother of Judah, which is the tribe Christ came from. Sometimes you thought it was evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive. God can do that. God can use things that you thought were bad in your life, things that you thought you were betrayed or you suffered or you were rejected or whatever, and God can take those and make something good out of it. And he often does. They searched the scriptures and they said, you know what? He's right because the Bible agrees with him. When you're confronted by Paul with the Messiah, the Bereans turned to the Bible daily and they said, yes, this is true. They had an excellent method. So they had an eager mind. They were really ready to hear. That's the problem with a lot of folks. They had an excellent method. They were ready to search. And then because of that, we go back to that thought about nobility being of a splendid family. This brought them, their faith, brought them into eternal membership in the family of God. Look at verse 12. Therefore, what is that therefore? Why is that therefore? What's that therefore, therefore? That therefore is therefore, verse 11. Their nobility and they're searching the word and their ready mind and to see if things were so. And therefore, many of them believed. Many of them believed. Many of them believed. A successful venture for Paul. Brother Chase Southard's going to go to South Africa, and he's not going to go over there to teach those folks how to farm. He might do that, but he's not going over there to teach them how to have more money or how to live a better standard of life. He's going to give them the gospel. And some of them will believe. And when they believe, they become part of what we call the family of God. Just like you and I. That's the key. Yeah, why won't some folks believe? Complicated question, but a short answer is because they love their sin. Basically, it's what usually the reason is. No, they became eternal members. Many of them believe. That's birth into a noble family. And then he says, of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And it's kind of cute the way he says that at the end. It's not a few, a whole bunch. Berea, because of their nobility, they believed what the Word of God said, and they received Christ as their Savior. I think I know everyone here tonight, and I think you've all done that. And isn't it great how God brought somebody to you with the Word of God so you could believe? But don't stop there. Don't stop. Well, Pastor, I'm saved, someone said, so now I'm going to go to heaven. One person told me one time, so it's okay if I don't do good things now, because after all, I'm saved, so I can do what I want to, right? No. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every man shall give an account of himself unto God. And so don't stop believing or don't stop receiving the Word of God now. So as you look at the big picture here, it goes on in verse 14. It says, immediately because of the people in verse 13, the Jews of Thessalonica. Now, they heard the same thing. They heard the Word of God in Thessalonica. Paul went to the synagogue there. He preached the same thing in Thessalonica that he preached in Berea. And those folks came thither and stirred up the people. Just a side note. It's dangerous not to believe what God said. Why you don't believe it? Like I said, maybe you love your sin. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you don't want to make a change in that particular area in your life. I've, you know, heard many stories, could tell many stories of people that we've gone to and we've said, look, what you're doing is not what the Bible says. And we'll get into any great details right now. I'm just thinking a person here and a person there and another person there. I'm thinking, you know, you tell them what you're doing does not agree with what the Bible says. And it goes right back to, I'm convinced that this is one of the pivotal points in the Bible where Cain, when God told Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted, and if not, sin lieth at the door. In other words, if you choose to reject what's right, then you're choosing to serve sin. It's right there waiting for you, and it's going to gobble you up. Someone says, well, I'm saved. Well, it may not gobble you up quite the same way it would a lost person, but when you choose not to do what's right, and you know it, it's going to gobble you up. And it will consume you, and it will hurt, and then it will end in a bad way. The Bereans were noble. They believed. They accepted it. The folks in Thessalonica heard the very same message, and they said, no, our Judaism is right, our religion is right, and so we're not only going to reject what Paul said, we're going to pursue this fellow and hurt him if we can. And they'd kill him if they could. We're going to be so vicious that he's going to have to sneak away even from Berea. So that's why verse 14, the brethren immediately sent Paul away, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And there's a lot to be said about the end of verse 14. Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Now, just picture this. Okay, so it's Sunday. Paul has preached to the church there at Berea, the assembly, whoever those folks were. And the word's out. The Thessalonians are headed this way, and there's a bunch of them, and they're stirring up the people in Berea. And they're going to get you if you don't leave, Paul. And Paul did what was right, and he left, and that was God's will at the time. And so now it's Monday morning, and Paul has departed, and they sent him to Athens and pretended he was going to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus are still there. Now, what are they going to do? Keep teaching the people the Bible. Amen? Sadly, sometimes we see people get saved in our church, and they don't continue. And we do what we can. This one person I'm thinking of, I've visited and visited and visited and tried and tried and tried, and they just won't come back to church. And then I think there are some cases that where people never really made a profession. They just claimed to, or they didn't understand or something like that, and they really never got saved. And I understand that, because without the Spirit of God, it's impossible to serve him. But I think there's some people that get saved, and we need to remember, they need our prayers, but they need our attention as well. And we need to take them under our wing and befriend them. And I think that there are some times when if we would just pay attention to them, it'd make the most difference of all. I'm really burdened lately for some of our teenagers and some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. And I sent an email out last week to all of our missionaries and said, I didn't give any names or anything. I just said, hey, there's some bad things happening with our young people. Would you pray for them? And now what I expect is God's going to do something. And I've already seen God do some things. It was kind of interesting. Two or three things I've seen since then that were encouraging. And I won't go into the details again. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But folks, those people that get saved, those newborn babies, they need us to give them the milk of the word so they can grow. And sometimes the baby won't crawl across the floor and find you. You need to go pick it up to feed it. And that's kind of the way it happens in Christianity as well. Now, Paul's gone, but Timothy and Silas, they stick behind. And you know good and well what they did. Now, they that conducted Paul in verse 15 brought him unto Athens. And that's a fascinating story we're going to get to look at here in just a little bit later. In fact, I think it's next week. And yes, it's coming up pretty quick here. But when Paul got to Athens, then there was a commandment to Silas and Timotheus to come to him with all speed, and they departed. So they couldn't stay very long, but the Word of God could. So the three points that we've had tonight, we might be finished a little early. They had an eager mind for God's Word. Let's pray that we would have that. Amen. They had an excellent method to verify the truth. They searched the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures. They studied. They looked. They knew the Bible because they spent time in the Bible. And you and I have a responsibility. We should be able to do that with folks. Then they had an eternal membership in God's family. But there could be a fourth point. We won't have one, but I'll tell you what it might be if you wanted one. The Jews in Berea accepted Paul. They believed the gospel. It took misfits from outside Thessalonica, and I've got it written here, it is 45 miles away, to stir up strife and provide opposition. The brethren in verse 14 is the brethren from Berea. They protected Paul, and they encamped around him. And I think about this, they had an encouraging manner. Now, who was Paul? Before Paul arrived in Berea, they probably heard some bad things from the Jews about him. Yeah, he's that fellow that goes around causing trouble. He's the one turning the world upside down. He's the one that pretending that man named Jesus is the Messiah. And you don't want to hear from that fellow. And then when Paul came and preached the gospel to him, and they got in the Bible and found out it was the truth, now all of a sudden he's special to him. Amen? Folks like Brother Chase Southard this morning and other people that come through our church, evangelists and missionaries and people like Stephen Harris comes to my mind and Nelson Dorr and folks like that. Folks, they deserve our loyalty. We need to help them out. And I, for example, if you or I heard that Stephen Harris was in trouble, I'd help him. If it meant going down to Mexico and trying to get involved in something, I'd do it. And that's what happened here. It's an encouraging manner. They didn't just say, "Lord bless you, be ye warmed and filled," and turn away and walk away from him. They were helping him. And folks, when you help those men, what you're doing is you're helping them get the gospel out. Because we're only in Acts chapter 17. We got a ways to go. And Paul's going to do a whole lot more than he's already done. But he can't do it by himself. God has other believers in his path to help him along the way. And then the question is, whose path did God put you in to help them along the way? Amen? This morning we took a love offering for the missionary. Did you help him along the way? We have, every month, we have missions giving, and we take faith promise in the offering, and we send it to the missionaries. Do you help them along the way? It's not enough to just say, "Yep, I'm all about missions." We need to be involved. And that's what these folks did. So, the noble Bereans, eager mind, ready to hear, excellent method, digging deep into God's word, eternal membership in God's family, believing, being saved, and then in an encouraging manner, deciding to help Paul and others to keep spreading the gospel. And it comes back to that message this morning that we heard, which was very well said, that Paul had a goal. He had one focus, and that was get the gospel out to the whole world. But he can only be in one place at a time, and so he let God move him from point A to point B to point C to point D. And the Thessalonians, even God used them to drive him down the road to Berea and then to drive him down the road to Athens. Where's God driving us? Amen? Are we part of that? You know, because if you receive the word, you haven't got to read very long before you realize it's not just Paul and Silas and Timotheus and Shea Southard and Stephen Harris and Nelson Dorr, and I could name names. It's not just those folks that have a task. God's given us a task. Carlos is doing a great job of coordinating and working with the folks that are going door to door. And this ministry is growing. I encourage you, be a part of it. Saturday they went out and he's got some numbers. I've asked him to start keeping some records, and he had a number of doors they had knocked, and it was in the hundreds, and praise the Lord. But what if five more people came out Tuesday night? What if five more people came out Saturday morning? How many folks would hear the gospel then? There's somebody, I guarantee you, there is somebody in these neighborhoods that hasn't gotten saved, that needs to be saved. And I don't know who it is, but if somebody would go to them, if one of us would go to them, they'd get saved. We got to go. Amen? That's the way Paul conducted himself. He just kept on going. The Jews tried to stop him. He just kept on going. The Bereans believed. He discipled them. He kept on going. And folks, that's our job too, is keep on going. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.